You're listening to the Message Podcast of High Ridge Church Longview, where our vision is to help you know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and ultimately make a difference. We are so glad that you're here, and we pray that this message impacts your life as you apply the spiritual truths from God's Word in practical ways. Let's listen in.
Thank you. Hey, everybody. Good morning. Welcome to all of our friends watching online from around the world. High Ridge family, would you give them a big round of applause as they're tuning in on their phone? For some of you, you're wasting powerful electricity by watching this sermon, so I hope that it's worth it. I know many of you are still without power. As a matter of fact, how many of you as of today are still without power? Let's pray for you right now in Jesus' name. Hey, you're just enjoying the air conditioning, no wonder. I was wondering why not that many of you were raising your hands during worship. You understand. Might have been born Pentecostal, but today's not the day. I'm so thankful for each of you. Hey, happy Father's Day. We're so grateful for all of those who have chosen to not just those that were blessed to be natural fathers, but those that had to step in and be fathers, for others that stepped out, for those that have gladly stepped into the place of a father role. Hey, we're very, very proud of you. We have some gifts for you at the end of this service. And then for the rest of us, hey, I just want to say welcome. We also recognize that many of us here today and those of us that are watching, you're choosing us because your church, your home church, was not able to have services today because of power issues here in East Texas. So let me just say welcome to you. So if you are from a different church, hey, welcome. We're glad that you're here. Welcome. In our first service, we have three services here. In our first service, we had Converge Church that joined us. So Pastor Kenny and Jacqueline Smith were here with a bunch of their people, and they just enjoyed the Sunday to just rest and relax and enjoyed you guys a lot. And so we also have a bunch of you guys from Revive Church sitting in this area. Hey. So we love Pastor Shannon. We love Pastor Shannon and Amanda at Revive Church. We love you guys very, very much. We're honored that you could worship with us today, and we could be your adopted church for the day. And let me just remind you, hey, if you are here as a transplant from another church, if you are enjoying service with us today, please do not feel pressured to give. Do not give tithes, offerings. Do not be generous here. Our people will be more than happy to take care of us. This is a very, very generous church. Do not tithe here. Make sure that your tithe goes to your home church. They need it. And make sure that you continue to support the church that God has led you to. So this is not the place where you need to bring your tithes and offering. That needs to go to your home church. We want to make sure that we're very clear about that so you don't feel pressured to give like the rest of us are going to feel pressured to give. Anyways, hey, I've been gone for 2 weeks, so I don't know what I'm going to say today. I have not preached, so we're gonna preach for about an hour, and then we'll come up for air and see what happens. My family is tired of listening to me preach. They're like, good Lord, Dad, we need to get you back to church. For a lot of reasons. Ephesians chapter 4 is where I want to go today. Ephesians chapter 4. I want to preach along the subject of, but I don't feel different. But I don't feel different. I think for many of us, if we were to be honest today in God's house, I believe that there is a moment of our lives where we have an encounter with the Lord, and then there's the period of time after that encounter where we have to question, did I really change? Am I really changing? Do I act different? Do I think different? Am I processing differently? But I don't feel different. And so as we're digging into God's word in Ephesians chapter 4, I was kind of drawn to the moments in my life where someone asked me, how do you feel? Don't you feel different? And I think your answer was probably the same as mine. I don't have any idea what that means. So when you had your 13th birthday party, somebody probably asked you, how does it feel to be a teenager? I don't know, man. Did I miss something? Am I supposed to feel different? When someone, you know, when they come up to you at your wedding, how do you feel? Overwhelmed. I don't know. How am I supposed to feel? Is this supposed to feel really good? Is it supposed to feel really bad? Am I supposed to be this nervous? I'm not really sure how I feel. The moment that you retire, how does it feel to be retired? I don't know. I don't feel different, but just feels like I'm supposed to be at work. I don't know. How does it feel? And if we're not careful as we walk through our relationship with Jesus, we're going to expect our feelings to be immediately different whenever God speaks or when we have this moment in God's presence where we expect a feeling to last. And so as we're digging into Ephesians chapter 4, I want to talk about what it means to actually be different, if that's okay. What does it mean to actually not just say the same things and do the same things or to feel the same way, but to be changed, to be who God called me to be? At what point do I begin to really feel different? When do I start recognizing the change in my life? How do I know, is this a real God encounter or is this just an emotional experience? And for me, as I was raised in the Pentecostal religion, a lot of what we did was based upon feelings. If you don't feel a certain way, you are not a certain way. And then, of course, my dad got his doctorate from a Baptist seminary, and so that's led a lot by the Word. And so if the Word doesn't say this, then you are not this. And so I grew up theologically confused. God's Word says this, but I feel like this. I'm supposed to act like this, but I don't feel like this. And so in between those two, I've had to struggle with this in my own personal life of, but I don't feel different. But here's what I know to be true. When people asked me, how does it feel to be a teenager? The moment that I turned from 12 to 13, I didn't feel different, but I certainly do today. I do not feel 13, except I tell you what, on my vacation, it snowed 4 times and I felt 13 when it snowed 4 times. Because I'm telling you, we get a lot of ice here in Longview, Texas. Well, I wouldn't say a lot, but that's the closest we get to snow. But when you get snow, like 4 days, like for real snow, and you're out there like, trying to catch somebody. You never done that? Don't act like I'm being weird. I'm just telling you. You got a 47-year-old man trying to catch snowflakes on his tongue. It's weird. But I didn't care. I felt 13. But I tell you what, when someone asks you, how do you feel? I might not feel different in that moment, but looking back, I can recognize the change. I didn't feel very different on my wedding day, except I felt a little overwhelmed with the cost of things. I felt overwhelmed with all the people that were there and the amount of eyes that were on me and the cameras and all these things that were happening on my wedding day. I was a little overwhelmed. How do you feel? Doesn't it feel great to be married? No, it feels overwhelming. It's anxious. I didn't get a chance to talk to people or say that this person, I saw that person and this person came and I signed a check for this and I signed a bill for that. I don't even know how I'm going to pay for it. I feel a little overwhelmed. But tell you what, I feel differently about my wedding today than I did then. I don't feel overwhelmed. Like, I look back on that day with fond memories. At the time, it was a little emotional. Quite an experience, quite an event. My 13th birthday party, quite an event. There are moments that happens in your life where people ask you, how do you feel? I don't know. How am I supposed to feel? Did I miss the memo? But yet, when we look back, we recognize that was an important day. I might not have recognized the change then, but I can recognize it now. You still with me? I want to make sure that you see this. As the Lord is talking to us today about what it means to become a new creation in Christ, I may not recognize the change today, but looking back on it in a few years, I'm going to look at myself and say, wait a minute, that was important. That was a big deal. That was a special moment in the presence of God. So on Father's Day, I wanted to honor my own dad. My dad has his doctorate in theology, and my dad wrote his thesis on 2 Corinthians 5:17 that says, I'm a new creation in Christ, and if you're a new creation, then the old has passed away and the new has come. And he was able to do a deep dive on just that scripture alone, go deep and just milk all the beautiful nuances that come out of that one scripture. And in response to that, and as an honor to him, I want to preach today in Ephesians 4, kind of a message that would dovetail very nicely with my own dad's, the message of his life. And so Ephesians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul is talking about what it means to be a new creation in Christ, what it means to actually be changed, what it means in response to that question, am I really different? Am I a new creation in Christ? Because I still feel the same. I still talk the same. I look in the mirror and I still look the same. But yet, through a process of time, I recognize I am not the same. The same way I used to do things, I don't do it that way anymore. I don't feel the same way. I don't operate the same way. And it's more than just I'm getting older. I'm becoming more like Christ. I want to make sure you see this. Events don't make us feel different. What follows next does. There's a process. So Ephesians chapter 4, I want you to pick this up in verse 17. And notice the language that the Apostle Paul is using as he tells the church exactly what it means to be a new creation in Christ, what it means to be changed, what it should look like, what it should feel like. He says this, I want to pick it up in verse 17. He says, so I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord. Somebody say, insist. Yes. Notice the strong language. I insist on this. This is Daddy saying, hey, you're going to do this. You're going to learn today. He says, I tell you this, I insist on it in the Lord. You must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding, separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. He says, I insist on it. You're not going to live the way that those people live. He says, they've lost their sensitivity and they've hardened their hearts. They're not living like Christ has called them to live. They've rejected what Christ has for them. He said, that ain't you. You're not going to live like that. In other words, he says, they don't want to change. They're perfectly comfortable with who they have become. They can see the beauty that Christ is calling them into, and they say, yeah, no thanks. It's easier to just live the way I've always lived. Now, this message does not apply to us in second service. That's for the heathens in third service. We're good. Me and you, we are the spiritually mature ones. This would never apply to us. This is, hey, I must insist on it. Don't live like they do. He says this, they've lost all sensitivity and they've given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they're full of greed. It's all about themselves, all about their lusts, all about getting more money. He said, that ain't you. That's not the life that God called you to live. He goes, I insist, you don't live that way any longer. Let's keep going. He says, that, however, is not the way of life that you learned when you heard about Christ and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self. Somebody say, put off. Put off. Put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self. Somebody say, put on.
Put on.
The new self. Created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. I love that he adds the word true righteousness. He said, look, you're not going to live like the Gentiles do. They don't want to change. They don't want to become more like Christ. They've rejected all that. They've given themselves over to sensuality. They've given themselves over to their own lust, given themselves over to greed. And now he says that old self is just becoming their own version of righteousness. He said, that's not true righteousness. He said, put that off. Put on this new self. Put on Christ. He said, this is what true righteousness is. He said, this is what true holiness is. So God tells us through his word that not only have we been changed, but we are being changed. And this is important for us to get at the foundation of our theology, because if you expect that that at the moment that you get saved, that everything is going to be different, you're going to be disappointed on day two. You're going to find yourself in a place where you're going to question, just like I did, am I really changed, or did we just have a good Sunday morning service? Did the pastor just preach really, really good and it made me cry, and then Monday happened and I don't feel any different? So have I been changed? Yes. Am I being changed? Yes. God has saved me and he's still saving me. God has changed me and he's still changing me. But I don't feel different. But I'm going to look back and recognize that at that moment I was changed. I didn't even realize how much God was changing me. So what does it mean to become a new creation in Christ? Am I a new creation? Yes. Am I becoming a new creation? Also, yes. What does that mean? I want to give you three things that are really important for us to understand as a group of believers today. I think this will help you. I think it will encourage you. I think it will strengthen your faith. If you're a note taker, you might want to write these three things down. They're very, very simple. But I think that if you apply them and if you ask the Lord to help you, this is going to bring you a lot of encouragement. The first thing I want to share with you today is simply this. How I think is how I'll live. How I think is how I live. Now, Paul is very uses some strong language when he talks about the attitudes of our minds. He says, you're going to have to be reformed. Change. You're going to have to be renewed in the attitude of your minds. You're going to have to change the way that you think. That sounds really good, Apostle Paul. How? How am I supposed to change the way that I think? I think strangely. I think different. Not everyone agrees with the way that I think. Sometimes it's good. Most times it is not. If I'm thankful for a filter, because if I said half the things that I think, I would have been fired a long time ago. Like, you can't say that. I wasn't trying to. How I think is how I'll live. He says, be made new in the attitude of your minds. Notice it's in the command terms, command language. Be made new in the attitude of your mind. Cool. How do I do that? How do I change the way that I think? Proverbs 23 says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Another scripture says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Like, the things that I have going on inside, they're going to eventually come out in what I say. And how I think is how I live. If I can't change the way that I think, I'll never be able to become a new creation in Christ, because my mind is wrong. I've got bad thoughts, strange things that go on up here. And we find ourselves adopting a different kind of Christianity, where if I just block out the way that I think and only say what people want me to say, that I can have this model of false righteousness where people think I'm good because I said I'm good. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Things are good. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm highly favored. We learn Christianese, where we're saying the right things, but the thinking hasn't really changed. How I think is how I'll live. So when Paul commands us to change the way that we think, here's the good news. He's showing us how. How? He said, you can be made new in your mind. So as we're born again, God gives us a new way of thinking, a new way of processing, a new way of hearing from him and beginning to change our thought process. I've often wondered, like, God, the moment that I got saved, why didn't you give me a brain transplant? Why didn't you just change my thoughts? I think weird things. And I found myself confused with all the bad memories and the things that I had been so ashamed of, things that were appropriate to bring me to the cross, because I felt a lot of shame and guilt and I needed forgiveness for my sins. But then the moment that I asked for forgiveness, I knew that God had forgiven me, but I didn't forget about those things. They're still there. The memories still haunt me. And I expected a different feeling. I expected God to just change my mind, to change my thoughts, but he didn't do that. He didn't do that at the moment, but I certainly see that I don't think the same way that I do, that I did then. I don't think that way now. Things may not have changed in the moment that I could recognize, but I'm not the same. I want to make sure that you see this. God doesn't change my thoughts, but he sends me the power through the Holy Spirit to understand and to apply his word. And this is what I noticed whenever I came to the Lord. I had been raised in church, but I'd gotten to a place where I had rejected the church, rejected God, rejected God's people. I couldn't stand being around a church because it's just so many bad memories for me. And being raised in it was different than just going to church out of my own free will. There was no free will when I was raised in church. It's what we do. and there was a ton of rules, ton of regulations, which we never really understood why. Now, my parents and grandparents, they understood why these rules were in place, but they didn't teach us the why. They only told us the what. And rules without relationship equals rebellion. And when I don't understand why God is asking us to do these things, that just don't do, don't do, don't do, it becomes very much like the Ten Commandments, and you're going to break them. Those commandments only served as a mirror to remind me how dirty I was. When I had a moment where I recognized the goodness of God, had a personal relationship with him, and I began to understand his voice, things began to change. And one of the first things that I did as a young man in my 20s, I began to apply myself to the word of God. Now, at first, it was just words on a page. Just doing it to do it. I knew that reading God's word was going to pay off in good things, but it certainly didn't feel like it at the time. It felt boring. It felt like a chore. It felt like something to do to just check a box. I guess I'm doing the right thing. This is what Christians do. They read the Bible. And I read the whole thing through, front to back, cover to cover, even the weird stuff. I read through Leviticus. I'm like, you guys must have really screwed up to not get bacon. Then I read the New Testament where Jesus says, I come to fulfill the law. I'm like, praise God, bacon is back on the menu. I can do that. Somebody say amen. Amen. And you know, the more I began to read God's word and even the parts I didn't like, I finished the whole thing. I started it again. And I finished it, and I started it again, and started it again. In this process of reading all of God's word, whether I understood it, whether I agreed with it or not, my thinking began to change. Because it began to pass through the filter of not just my own thoughts, but through the authority of God's word. I might not have recognized the change that was happening in the moment, but looking back, I'm like, my Lord, how quickly that word began to produce life and began to produce fruit, began to produce things in my life that I could not have made happen on my best day. I became a new creation in Christ. Through a process of paying attention to God's word, it changed the way that I processed things. There's something beautiful that happens when you open up God's word. There's a point where you stop reading God's word and it starts reading you. We call this rhema. The words start jumping off the page. I recognize that God didn't change my thoughts, but he began to redeem them. They became submitted to the power of the Holy Spirit. And then my life began to change. How I think is how I live. Verse 17, Paul says, you must no longer live as the Gentiles do. And he says, in the futility of their thinking. I love that word, the futility. That's an important word there. If you're a note taker, if you have a paper Bible, you might want to circle that word, the futility of their thinking. In the original language, the Greek language that this was written in, that word means that futile way of thinking means no purpose, no power, and unstable. And he's saying, when you don't have true righteousness, when you don't have a real relationship with Jesus, when you're not a new creation in Christ, when you've rejected the authority of Christ's word, your thinking is going to leave you into a place where your mind is unstable, where your thoughts are powerless. Your life has no purpose. And Paul says, I insist on it in the Lord. You don't live that way. That ain't you. That is not who God has called you to be. You are better than that. He says, that ain't the way that you're supposed to be thinking. No. Don't you know who you are? You're a new creation in Christ. Don't you recognize there's something new to be put on here? That's futile thinking. There's no power in that. And I recognize that as I'm looking at that simple word, that futility word, I recognize a lot of my life has been spent thinking about things that left me in an unstable place, a powerless place, a purposeless place. And I recognize that my life was void and without meaning until Christ began to change the way that I think through daily discipline spent in his word. You know, God intends for my thoughts to lead me into a life of stability, holiness, and full of godly purpose. That's God's intent for you. He wants your thoughts to begin to change. It's good for you. So as I was reading this scripture, I was drawn to probably the same question that you are, the question that comes up in my mind when Paul says, I insist that you change the way you're thinking. My question was, how? How do I do that? You know, as I began to apply myself to the reading of God's word as a young man, I began to come across scriptures that started reading me, like we talked about earlier, scriptures that began to jump off the page. And I saw where Paul says, take every thought captive. And that began to jump off the page at me. And I'm like, wow, that means that I don't have to just think about what I'm thinking about. But I can take a thought, take it captive and say, does this work for me or does this need to be put to death? Yeah. Does this thought produce anything good in my life? Or does this thought need to go right back to the pit from whence it came? I can take thoughts captive. I saw another scripture that says, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, think on these things. And I realized I don't have to just think about what I'm thinking about. I can change the way I think by thinking on the things that are good and lovely and pure and a good report. And all of a sudden, man, I begin to change. How I think is how I'll live. And scripture says you can change the way that you think. You can be renewed in your mind. You can take your thoughts captive. You can focus on the things that are right. And the authority of God's word began to override what had been in charge most of my life, this crazy screwed up brain. How I think is how I live. So when my thoughts begin to change, my life will respond. And God has given us the ability through the power of the Holy Spirit to change the way that we think. You don't have to stay in the same mindset that you've always been in. That's the good news. This is the way I always think. We can be born again. Thanks be to God, we can be born again. I don't have to think that way any longer. So number one is how I think is how I'll live. Here's number two. If you're a note taker, write this down. How I feel is how I'll think. So we've gone one level deeper into theology behind this. How I think is how I live, but how I feel is how I'll think. Now, you may disagree with me. You say, no, how I feel, it has nothing to do with how I think. Then a storm comes along in Longview, knocks out a little power, makes us a little bit uncomfortable, then makes us a lot uncomfortable, and all of a sudden, that person that you've given the rest of your life to, that you're in love with, makes you really irritated real quick. Don't act like you don't know what I'm talking about. You make your house about 82 degrees, and you look at that person next to you like, you stink. I don't like you. This is uncomfortable. This is hot. I get it. We drove from Colorado, and I had to scrape ice off of my windshield the moment that we were driving back. We had snow four times. We're leaving 30-degree mornings and 60-degree as the high for the day. Don't feel sorry for me. I was suffering for the gospel. And then drive back into this hot, warm, moist blanket. Finally lay down after a 15-hour drive, thanking God for the rest, and then the power goes out, and you're like, I hate this place. So excited to get home, and then you're like, I hate it. Hate this house, hate these people. I don't know whose kids these are. Kick your dog. How I feel is how I'll think. You'd be surprised. When you're sick, when you're tired, when you're hungry, when you're hot, it changes the way you think. And the people that you love and the things that you're appreciative for, it'll make you really unappreciative real fast. It doesn't bring out the best in us. It brings out the worst. Don't act like you're above it. I saw a bunch of you still without power. And you're like, we got air conditioning. You can say whatever you want. I will amen anything right now. I'm just thankful to be nice in 71 degrees. Come on, somebody. How I feel is how I think. It's amazing how quickly my mind can go underneath the authority of my feelings. And if I'm not careful, I'll do the exact same thing in my spiritual walk. If I don't feel a certain way, my thoughts won't submit to the authority of God's word. And being raised as a Pentecostal, I had learned that the Holy Spirit and my feelings, I couldn't tell the difference. And so if, as a pastor, I this is what came to my mind. If I could manipulate someone's feelings, I could send a counterfeit of the Holy Spirit. This is what a lot of churches will do. If I can make you feel a certain way, you'll say, man, the Spirit of God was strong. Was it? Or did you just have a new music pastor? Did we just do your favorite song? And we've learned to substitute great feelings for the power of God. And if we're not careful, we won't know the difference. How I feel is how I'll think. So Paul says, comparing the true believers to the Gentiles, he says, these people are far from God due to the hardening of their hearts. They've hardened their hearts towards the things of the Holy Spirit. He says, they've lost all sensitivity. They're not listening to the power of God. They only want what they want. Tell us what we want to hear. And he says, because of that, they've given themselves over to sensuality. I want to feel good. Make me feel right. Remember one time a friend of mine had come to visit church. He says, man, you guys better bring it today. I need something. I'm like, well, what would you like me to bring? You better just bring it. What is it? Define that for me. I'm trying to help you. You know, I love you. What do you need? Oh, but make me feel the Spirit. Like, I do not hold that kind of responsibility. That ain't my job. I didn't like those songs. We weren't worshiping you. This ain't about you. But we've tailor-made Christianity to a feeling. And if we're not careful, we will settle for a false version of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We'll settle for a false version of Christianity. We'll settle for a false religion and false holiness, false righteousness. When we allow our feelings to take authority over what God says. How I feel is how I think. Paul says, your old self, he says, it's being corrupted. Your old self is being corrupted. In other words, when he says, take that off, he says, you know, you have a really easy decision. It's easy to say that old way of thinking, it's really easy to put that back on because it fits. He said, but no, it's being corrupted. That means it's gone from bad to worse. And I think many of us know people like that, and some of us have been there ourselves where we walked with God for a while, then we got off that train and said, it's just easier to do it this way. This is kind of the way I am. And then we recognize when we step back into our old life, this did not improve with age. This ain't no fine wine, you know. We're not Baptists. We can say wine in church. It's okay. I want to apologize to my Baptist friends that came today. No, look, God doesn't change my feelings, but he gives me his Holy Spirit to overrule and retrain them. I feel strongly a certain way, then I get saved. Why don't I change the way that I feel? I said, no, I've given you the Holy Spirit. It will overrule and retrain the way that you feel. It'll do the same thing with your thoughts. It'll overrule and retrain how you think, and that's a good thing. How do I become a new creation in Christ? I submit my feelings to the authority of Christ. I submit my thoughts to the authority of Christ. I learn to be disciplined in his word and let his word be the governing parts of my life. So learning to submit my choices, my thoughts, my feelings to the lordship of Christ, that's the foundation for my spiritual progress. That's where I become a new creation. I want to finish up with point number three today. If you're a note taker, go ahead and write this down. Number three, what I choose determines how I'll change. What I choose determines how I'll change. Choices are a powerful thing. One of the things that we say here in our culture, we have a statement that we've said before, choices lead, feelings follow. Choices lead, feelings follow. And I'll even add to that, choices lead, feelings follow, thoughts follow too. When I determine I'm gonna make biblical choices, when I line myself up with what God's word says, whether I understand it or not, whether I totally comprehend it or not, but I just determine, okay, Lord, if your word says this, then I'm gonna line myself up with it. When I determine that I'm gonna do that, my feelings will line up with what I've chosen. My thoughts will line up with what I'm chosen. I want you to know this, you are three parts. God made you in three parts. There's a spirit there. There's a soul there. You're in a body. And by the way, all those three want to drive. They want to drive. And let me just tell you, as someone that had just drive 15 hours coming back, I've got control issues. I don't like anybody else driving my car. That ain't happening. And if you've got kids that have had their driver's license, they want to drive. Like, let us drive down the mountain. Like, no, I ain't trying to die. And they're super safe drivers. They don't have access. I get it, but they ain't me. I've got control issues. I can admit that, but you ain't I'm driving because I'm daddy. And until I'm 94 and they take my license from my cold, dead fingers, amen. You better Uber because I'm driving. And we'll do the same with our spiritual walk. It's difficult sometimes when the Holy Spirit's like, let me drive. Yeah, I don't know if I could trust you. Now, you might not say that, but your actions will tell you something different. Who's in charge? Who's in charge? Is it how I feel? Is it how I think? Is it how I want? Or is it what his word says? Who's in control? How I think is how I live, and how I feel is how I think. But when I'm submitted to the authority of the power of the Holy Spirit, how I think and how I feel will change, and I'll become a new creation in Christ. As Paul is using this language, he says two things. Put off your old self, put on the new self. It's crazy to me how it's that simple. He said, no, take that off, put this on. And kind of the word picture that he's creating here is of someone that has been a prisoner and has been released from prison, but still wants to wear the clothes. Now, for those of you that didn't grow up in the 90s like I did, I grew up at a 5A high school with a lot of people in a very, very low income area. And one of the things that came into style in about 91, 92 is you would wear prison clothes, orange jumpsuits. Now, me being raised as pastor's kid, homeschool kid, when I came in on Orange Wednesday, apparently, that's what it was, I don't know. I'm like, what in the world? But a bunch of people were like, the numbers across the back, and it's like this orange button-down jumpsuit, and people walking, oh, not cool. Like, I don't know what that is. But you would wear prison gear. Now, that didn't last for so long, and then that was replaced by the crisscross gear where you wore everything backwards. Y'all don't even know nothing about that. Y'all, East Texas, it's been Wranglers and boots forever, and I get it. It's classic, doesn't go out of style. But for the rest of us, every 5 minutes, something else would come along. But those orange jumpsuit was a strange time, man. Strange time, bunch of high schoolers walking around looking like prisoners. But Paul says, hey, take that off. Put this on. Put on the new self. That ain't you anymore. You've been released from the wages of your sin. You've been released from guilt. You've been released from shame. You've been released from your old way of thinking. You've been released from your old feelings. Stop putting them on. He says, put on Christ. He said, this is what you were taught. This is the authority that Christ has given you to walk into. This is the new version of you. Let me just tell you, new clothes will change the way that you think and feel about yourself. Somebody say amen. You get something that fits and that looks good, you're like, ooh, I'm looking pretty good today. Get something new. You walk into church on Sunday morning, people are like, look at you. Somebody got a raise. Maybe your husband did something wrong. Had to buy you a new outfit. Nobody else ever have to do that? No, not you. New clothes will make you think differently about yourself. And Paul's alluding to this when he said, hey, that's not who you are. That's not what you were taught. Put this on. There's an old commercial with the Men's Warehouse where George Zimmerman says, hey, you're going to like the way you look. I guarantee it. Remember that? Here's Paul saying to each of us, don't put on your old self. You've been made new in Christ. That's not what you were taught. Do the right thing because it's the right thing. Clothe yourself in humility. Submit your thoughts to the authority of God's word. Align your feelings underneath the authority of the power of the Holy Spirit. And you're going to like the way you look. I guarantee it. You may not recognize the difference in that moment, but through a process of time, you'll look back and say, I am a new creation in Christ. The old has gone. The new has come. I am not the same. I don't think the same that I used to think. I don't look the same that I used to look. I don't feel the same. I don't make the same decisions. I don't make the same choices. I don't hang out with the same people. I don't want to. Why? Because I found something better. I like the new me. What a powerful God that encourages us, that challenges us, that pushes us to put off the old and to put on the new. I want to leave you with a final parting thought. We shouldn't wait until we feel like a new person to put on the new person. As we're finishing up today, I want to just encourage you and challenge you with that. What are you wearing? Now, for some of us, you had to get dressed in the dark today. We'll give you a little bit of grace. I get it. Lots of us have been without power. Some of us, hey, you're just putting on what was clean because you haven't had a chance to wash clothes. I get it. It's been a long week for each of us. We've been pushed and stretched. We've been afraid with storms. We've lost power. We've had to stand in the gap for our neighbors. Others of us have had to welcome people into our homes. Others of us have had to ask people, can I come stay with you just to get a shower? I get it. It's been a tiring and a trying week on a lot of levels. I get it. I understand. But in the process of this, I want you to recognize there is something much deeper at work here. It's the power of the Holy Spirit working in your life, helping you in the midst of what is uncomfortable to clothe yourself in the righteousness of Christ, to recognize you're a new creation. You're not led by what you think. You're not led by what you feel. You're led by the authority of the Word of God through the power of the Holy Spirit. You have become and you are becoming a new creation in Christ. Act like it. Talk like it. Put it on. Make the choice and watch what God can do. Would you bow your head and close your eyes together today? I want to just pray for every single person walking through a difficult period. I know many of us are still in a place with no power, and many of us are struggling this week. Some of us, the power had no issue, but we're in a difficult place. Let me just pray for you right where you are. If you're watching online today and you need some prayer, you need some help, let me pray for you too. I want to just ask you, would you just open up your hands as just a sign of submission and surrender to the Lord? Almost as if somebody was handing you a gift today. I want to pray for you. Father, I pray for my friends walking through a difficult season. We may not feel different, Lord, but we recognize through the authority of your word that we are different, that old things have passed away. They're not going to bring us pleasure anymore. The new has come. We are new creations in Christ, and we can put it on and become who you've called us to be. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to not settle for less, but to walk in your righteousness. Father, would you help your people today? Would you strengthen them for the journey that's ahead? Would you forgive us for the times that we failed you? Would you restore hope? Would you restore power, Lord, on multiple levels? Would you restore power? We pray for those that have been affected by the storms and those that are hurting and hot today. Pray that, Lord, that you would be their strength and help, an ever-present help in the time of trouble. Bless your people, Lord, today. In Jesus' name. Now, with heads bowed and eyes closed, perhaps you're here today or perhaps you're watching online and you're saying, Pastor, I need a relationship with Jesus. I am far away from God and I know it. My friend, you're in the right place. If you want a relationship with Jesus, I want to invite you right now to pray with me, right where you are. I'll tell you what to say. Pray with me. The prayer goes like this. Just say, Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe that you came and died and rose from the grave so that I could have life and forgiveness for all of my sins. I invite you to take over. I give my life to you right now in Jesus' name. With heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're watching today or perhaps you're here in the room with me and you say, Pastor, I prayed that prayer. That was me. Would you just look up at me and lift up your hand all across this place? That was me, Pastor. I see you. I see you. Good. That was me, Pastor. I prayed that prayer with you. Good. On the screen behind me and on the screen that you might be watching from is a number that's going to be appearing right there. It's 844-HRC-TEXT. If you prayed that prayer, would you text me? Text the words, I prayed. When you do that, I'm going to send you some things that I've prepared just for you. It'll help you understand what happened. It'll help you know what to do next. It would be my greatest honor to help you to know Jesus better. Good for you. I'm proud of you. For all of you who are watching and tuning in online, hey, let me just say thank you for watching. If you enjoyed this, if you feel like this is a timely message for people to watch and listen to, would you click the share button? That would mean a lot to me. Click the share button and share Jesus with your world. Good for you. Highridge family, go ahead and look up at me if you would, then stand to your feet. It's been such an honor being back. It's been such an honor celebrating Father's Day with you. To all of you fathers out there, we love you. To those of you who are stepping in to the gaps or other people who stepped out, hey, we appreciate you. Good dads are hard to find. And we believe that that God is going to bless you on your special day. Also, we have a gift for those of you who are actually in service with us. We have some gifts that are out there for you. We've got some cold drinks that are actually cold. We found some ice, believe it or not. Found some ice at Longview. And then we have some popcorn there for pops. So we want to just take a moment, honor you as well. I have our elders and their wives coming forward. Several of our elders are out this week, and some are on vacation, some are traveling, some are stuck at home, and some are having to help in a lot of other areas. And so we have what we have. But if you have any prayer needs, we would love to pray for you. And these guys are going to stay here as the service finishes to pray for you. If you wanted to stay in the air conditioning, we got another service coming up in about 20 minutes. And we'd love to have you stay and get a double dose of it. You probably need it. But for everybody else, let me pray for you and bless you as you go. Lord, I pray that you'd bless my friends with an incredible week, following after you all week long. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you as you go. Hope you have an amazing week. Happy Father's Day.
Thank you so much for listening in today. Our prayer is that you are encouraged and strengthened by the message. If you haven't done so yet, be sure to subscribe to this podcast and leave us a review wherever you're listening. If you want to be a part of our online community, connect with us through Facebook or Instagram with the handle @HighRidgeLV, or you can check out our website at highridgelv.com. Lastly, if this ministry has impacted your life and you'd like to support its work, visit highridgelv.com/give. We appreciate your support, and we're believing with you today for God's best in your life. Have an incredible week, and we will see you next time.